preaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace. You join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon for a time of rightly dividing the word of truth.
Well, we're so thankful that you've tuned in today for this edition of Abounding Grace Radio. We are returning to our study in the Gospel of John, now chapter 7. We have transitioned from chapter 6, where we looked at this very difficult section, where many people walked away from the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ because they were too hard. They were too difficult. They were a stone of stumbling. And Jesus, of course, showed us in power that those whom the Father has given to the Son will confess Him. They will remain with Him. They have nowhere else that they could go. And that's exactly what happened when Jesus asked his disciples, "Do you also want to go away?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Well, now we transition. That is a beautiful confession by Peter, something that had been given to him by the Father. Now we transition into chapter 7. Let me read a little bit of that to you this morning and this afternoon. "After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brothers therefore said to him, 'Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you're doing, for no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world.' For even his brothers did not believe in him." We are continually shown this really hard reality in John's gospel. Jesus has come down from heaven. He is speaking from heaven. They are refusing him. The Jews are refusing Jesus' teachings because they're intolerable. And he's witnessed again, thousands walk away. The problem that we're dealing with in John chapter 7, and really throughout John's gospel, is the fact that many of these Jewish people whom Jesus is running into are still clinging to the old covenant. And it can't save. It never could. And right now in front of them, you know, Jesus is giving the words of eternal life. He's offering himself as the promise of the new covenant, which was the promise ultimately made to Abraham that in him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Those who would be saved would be those who have the same faith of Father Abraham. In John 8, Jesus is going to say clearly that Abraham knew Christ. Abraham believed Christ. So here's what's going on. These people before us in John's gospel are refusing the mediator between God and man. And so as I apply this week and we open up John chapter 7, let me just say the basic message is pay close attention to the word of God, the words of the Savior, because Jesus is explaining how you know in this section that it is indeed his voice. He's going to identify clearly for us how to recognize when he is speaking and when we can know that these are the words of eternal life. So let's study this. There are three things in John 7 that the text is showing to us, challenge you today, dear radio listener, as to whether you're hearing the word of God. What you're going to see play out in John 7 are three things. These people refuse his purpose, his message, and his person as the mediator of the new covenant. Let's open this up. We read that after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. It's just tragic, isn't it? Didn't take long. But it's not his time now. We're told that it was the Feast of Tabernacles. This was the feast that took place on the 15th of the seventh month, half a year from the Feast of Passover removed. So this Feast of Tabernacles is very fascinating. Sacrifices were made when they would sacrifice 70 bullocks. If you understand the scene and the events that are going on, trumpets were being blown daily in the temple. They had a ceremony of the outpouring of water from the little pool of Siloam, commemorating the water that came out of the rock at Meribah in Exodus 17. It would have a grand kind of candle lighting service to remember the pillar of fire that guided them through the wilderness. Add to that, there was a torch parade, and everywhere you went in Jerusalem, you would look around and you would see tents or booths. The people would dwell in these booths on their roofs or in the streets, according to Leviticus 23, for 7 days. That was to commemorate how God protected the children of Israel in the wilderness. This is the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, Jesus has his disciples following him, and obviously a small band of followers, which were, and we find out here, which were his brothers, those of his close family relationship. So in verse 3, they approach Christ, and they say to him, "Depart from here and go into Judea," notice this, "that your disciples may also see the works that you're doing. For no one does anything in secret, while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." Did you catch that? His disciples? Aren't his disciples with him? Yes, the 12 of them. Remember the last chapter, his teaching was so hard, it was so intolerable, it was so not comforting to them that many walked away from him. You know, it'd be like somebody who gets mad at the messages that they hear and they're offended and they say, I get no comfort in that. I'm leaving. That's what happened at the end of John 6. Verse 66, from that time on, many of his disciples went back and they followed him no more. His teaching drove them away. Now, some time has elapsed between chapter 6 and 7, and his brothers see him go all over Galilee doing all these other works and signs and healings. Here's what they're thinking. Some of your disciples walked away, but they didn't get to see everything that we're seeing. Had you fed them every day, like we're seeing you do, they would have stayed with you had they seen these things. Putting it in different terms, had you dazzled them with your power, had you done these signs and wonders before them, that wouldn't have happened. They wouldn't have walked away from you. Show them your power. Right now, Jesus, brother, is the Jewish Feast of the Tabernacles. I could hear them. Can you imagine what the following would be if he does those things in Jerusalem? It's the very sort of temptation that the devil tempted Jesus with when he set him up on the pinnacle of the temple and he said, "See all the kingdoms of the earth and their glory, bow to me and you can have it now. Go to Jerusalem, brother. Have the glory now. Show them your greatness." The tragic statement there in verse 5 is that even his own brothers did not believe in him. His own brothers were following him for the signs that he could do. You know, I've really been emphasizing this in John's gospel, and I believe it's just a crucial point. Just a crucial point. How many will attend a service, a worship service that dazzles, and a man that speaks smooth words more than we ever would think? Jesus' answer here is really instructive to us. Jesus said to them, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil. You go up to this feast. I'm not going up to the feast. My time has not yet fully come." Let me explain what I believe he's saying here. We're told in verse 1 that the Jews want to kill him. What Jesus is saying is, "I'm not on your schedule. You want me to take the glory for myself now. But he's already said, I have food of which you do not know. The food is to lay down my life, to suffer. The Father has given me a schedule for that. I'm doing that food. You want me to show myself to the world through my great signs and wonders, making myself great, but you're not listening to the message. My message is that all of their works are evil. What good are signs and wonders if the problem is, right? If that's the problem, that all their works are evil. I'm not primarily a belly filler. I'm not primarily a miracle worker. I'm food and drink for thirsty and hungry souls. This is really crucial this morning, dear listener. Are we hearing what he's saying here? This is so fascinating. His brothers are begging him to go up to the feast, to do his marvelous works, to do the signs and wonders so that the people would see him and believe. Now remember in chapter 4 what Jesus had said about this. Jesus said, unless you people see signs, you will by no means believe. What is Jesus saying the reason he's just not going openly apart from his Father's schedule that the Father had given him? Why? His message is that all the world's works are evil. Apart from me, it's all evil. Now, think of the context here. They say, go to the feast and show yourself to the world. They link together the world with the feast. There are booths everywhere. There are trumpets being blown. There are sacrifices being made, torches and candle lightings. Do you hear what Jesus Christ is saying? Do you know what my message is? Their whole religious system, their whole order, devoid of me, all the observances that they are given is all evil apart from me. He's saying all of it's evil because it's done apart from true faith. Listen, this is, I can't stress how crucial this is. The tabernacle, the deliverance in Egypt, the feeding in the wilderness with bread, all of that was Christ. The manna, all of it pointed to him. And the Jews are going through all their religious ceremonies. They're observing all these feasts. They're keeping all of these things, such religious devotion to festivals. And they're totally devoid of the one those things proclaim. Jesus is saying all their acts, all their works in these things are evil. See the contrast here? Go up to the tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles, and show your greatness to the world. I testify, all that the world does is evil apart from me. That's his message. That's why Jesus couldn't just walk out openly. I'm not here for glory now. I'm going to the cross at my hour, says Jesus. I'm really moved by this. How could they celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles that speaks of God establishing a tabernacle among them in the wilderness, caring for them, and yet miss the one that John says had come and tabernacled among them, and they will not come to him for life? They will not observe him. They will not hear him. You see, signs and wonders and all these things, what good are they? Jesus is saying, apart from faith in him, it all is focusing on the wants and desires of men. It's evil. Let us come by true faith to him. Believe in him for the saving of the soul. Delight ourselves in him. And guess what? You'll have the true healing you need. The healing of not only your bodies, which will come in the resurrection, but your bodies and your souls, which he is able to free from the dominion of sin. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, give you an invite to join us for worship, 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. We would love to have you join us on visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.